The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, during this incredibly busy time on the sports calendar, here are our next WNBA games on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. Tonight, you'll see Diana Taurasi and the Mercury taking on the Mystics. That's 8 Eastern. Then Asia Wilson and the Aces square off against Brianna Stewart and the Storm. All the action again on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app. And then, as we mentioned later this week, it's the PGA Championship. There's Sergio Garcia. He's a former Masters champion trying to add the PGA to his arsenal. He'll be as part of the action at the Ocean Course in Kiawah. Again, our action will begin here Thursday, 1 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, as we'll be showing you all of that there. Colin Morikawa, who we showed you a little while ago, is the defending champ at the event. The course plays over 7,800 yards, and if the wind is up, it could be about as challenging as anything we've seen in a long time. And with that said, we welcome you back to another terrific hour of Get Up, coming to you live, as always, from the Seaport District in New York. We are brought to you by Chase, and here we come. It is time to get up with a superstar showdown unlike any in NBA history. It's LeBron. It's Steph. It's a one-game season. We'll get you ready. Woj is standing by live. Plus, wait until you hear the word a legendary former GM uses to describe Aaron Rodgers. The question is, does it fit? And you will also hear something from Tampa Tom that suggests his team might just be impossible to beat this time around. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now with LeBron, the King, Sunday night against the Pelicans, tweaking the ankle, causing concerns about his health heading into this postseason. Called the latest injury a tweak of the high right ankle sprain that caused him to miss 26 of the Lakers' final 30 regular season games. We pick up the conversation right there with Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, joining us live here as we get set for the play-in tournament. What do we know about the health of LeBron's ankle and what we can expect, not just tomorrow, but as far as these Lakers go in these playoffs?
Greeny, I'm told that that ankle is fine. And, you know, certainly, you know, there's been different degrees of soreness since he's come back from that six-week layoff. You know, he did tweak it there against New Orleans. But I'm told that he expects to be, you know, as close to 100% as he can be with that high ankle, that right ankle, high ankle sprain that he's had, but that he's in pretty good shape for the start of their play. And Bradley Beal, on the other hand, with Washington, you know, he's going to have some difficulty with that groin playing through that against Boston in their play-in game.
All right, yeah, that one is scheduled for tonight. And so, again, we got big stars in action here in this play-in tournament. We have Russell Westbrook, and we have Jason Tatum, and, of course, in the West, LeBron and Steph, probably the two biggest stars in the whole sport. Right now, any of these guys could go out before the playoffs actually begin. Some will wonder, then, is this tournament something that we should expect to see continuing going forward? What should they know?
The play-in tournament, Greeny, I believe, is here to stay. You know, there was great support when it was implemented, and now that it's here again this season, I think it's created great drama, great interest. It's had people talking about the stretch run of the NBA regular season, and you know, then we'll see. I think especially what the TV ratings look like later this week. But that Golden State Laker game is probably going to be as watched of a basketball game played outside of the NBA Finals this season.
Absolutely. And again, so for the league's sake and many others, you want to see both those guys get through one way or the other. One of them will face a one-game season on Friday night. We'll see. Meanwhile, the Celtics, let's talk about them. They play tonight against the Wizards, as we pointed out. It feels like there's a lot at stake here. How would you describe what is at stake for the Celtics if this week goes sideways on them?
Well, listen, I think this has certainly been a disappointing season for the Celtics. And now with Jaylen Brown out of their lineup for the rest of the season, there's a lot on Jason Tatum going into this play-in. But this is still a Boston organization with two star players in Brown and Tatum. with a coach, Brad Stevens, who's going to be back. The idea that his job might be in jeopardy is just not accurate. This is a coach who's been to the conference finals 3 out of 4 years. They're going to certainly continue with Brad Stevens. They've had a talent drain in Boston over the last few years. They have got to improve their talent, and they need a healthy Kemba Walker. That's been a big issue for the up and down nature of this Celtics team. But they're going to chalk this season up as a disappointment. I do think you'll see some roster movement this offseason, but I don't think you're going to see any changes in their leadership.
All right, fair enough. So we got the two East games tonight, the two West games tomorrow night. We're looking forward to that. Woj, outstanding. Thank you, as always, for getting up with us here. It's going to be
a busy week.
Meanwhile, to the NFL we go, and Aaron Rodgers, his situation in Green Bay remains at an impasse, but the story continues to dominate. Listen to this. Former Packers general manager Ron Wolf, he's in the Hall of Fame. He was on the Big Show Radio Network, and he offered this rebuke of Rodgers and other star quarterbacks in the game today. Listen to this.
Today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterbacks. You know, in my time, they're hired to play the position, quarterback. These guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. A lot of divas playing in that league right now. And the thing that I fail to understand is all these guys that are doing this have long-term deals.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, but I guess, you know, I underline the word divas multiple times. Teddy, what do you think of calling Rodgers and some of the other star quarterbacks divas?
Yeah, Ron Wolf, man, that's old school right there. That's an old school man with some hard values, you know, guys. But that's the way it was. That's the way it was. I wouldn't say diva. I just say these are power players now. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is doing, is this is a power play because he knows he has that type of leverage. A very important player at a very important position, and nobody wants that position unhappy in the organization or in the locker room. So they know, man, is he serious is what they're trying to gauge. And if they are, okay, now we got to do something. But these quarterbacks now, very few, they're rare players that aren't quarterbacks. They know they have this type of power. If I don't like what's going on here, all right, and I see the writing on the wall of how the future is going to be, I'm going to do what I can for me instead of the team, because I'm going to think about my future and how I finish. So Rodgers, no diva, just a power play. And he sees that number one quarterback coming in to Jordan Love, and he's thinking about how he's going to finish his career. He wants to do it right.
I'm with that. And that said, though, Mike T., do you think that Ron Wolf is saying things that a lot of other people, maybe even inside the sport today, are thinking and just aren't willing to come out and say publicly about the way not just Rodgers, but other star players are taking control of their own situations?
Absolutely. And to Teddy's point, that was certainly a generation ago of you had a contract and you honored it, but we're in a different time and we're in a different place. And whether it's fair or not, the perception is Tom Brady left a great situation, one where he had historic success. And he went to a place where not only did he have success, but more fulfillment, and the perception is more input. And when you look at Russell Wilson, and certainly what was going on with Deshaun Watson before the off-field incidents, was these quarterbacks have, as Teddy alluded to, massive leverage, and they were exercising it, and that's just the time and place we are, and puts more pressure on an organization. And Brian Gutekunst has done a good job as a GM. He's a good person. He probably would like to have last April back, where maybe he could have brought Aaron Rodgers in and said, hey, look, here's what we're thinking and why. Your job is to play quarterback. Our job is to run the team. We may add a quarterback. This is why we're doing it. That's not an indictment that we don't like you. And when those things don't happen, we see what happens. Aaron Rodgers is upset, and now there's a big problem in Green Bay.
What, Jeff, why are we shaking your head?
I mean, look, it's not just about the Jordan Love thing. I mean, that was the first-round pick the Packers spent on a skills position player since Aaron Rodgers has been there. This is a culmination of things for Rodgers. And I think about this Ron Wolf quote. I think about, what if he said that if he was an active GM today? Like, Tannenbaum, can you imagine the vitriol you would be met with if you said that today? Probably rightfully so. There's not a quarterback in the league that would hear that comment and say, I'm going to go line up for this guy. Maybe things are different now. Maybe you could argue it's for the worse. But You better be careful with your star legendary Hall of Fame quarterback, because guess what? He will leave. He will go to Tampa Bay and win a Super Bowl the next year. It will happen. It happened this past year with Tom Brady. It'll happen again if Aaron Rodgers winds up going to the Denver Broncos. So, hey, you can be old school. You can be get off my lawn, but you're not going to have a legendary quarterback for long if you are.
No, that's a really well-taken point. And, Teddy, that's what I was getting at there is Ron Wolf can say that because he's retired. Do you think a lot of other guys in the sport right now, Teddy Bruschi, think exactly the same way and just won't say it for the reasons that Jeff is giving?
You've got so many coaches, so many GMs that have been in this league for decades and remember how it used to be for decades when those contracts were rock solid and it's like, well, you're just not going to get paid. You leave, no, we own your rights. That's the way it is. And that threat was enough to just say, hey, no, you got 3 years left on your deal. We're not doing anything. So go out there and play. You know, and it's just not that way anymore. And quarterbacks know that you just can't function. You can't function without me. The league has shaped itself to a quarterback-driven league, and you can't function because my cap number is so high that my backup can't get the job done, and now you can't function. So this is what I want also, and they're realizing this.
Listen, I mean, the absolute reality of the situation, and Mike T, we'll come back to this a little bit later because I can see you want to get in. The reality is Aaron Rodgers is the most important person in the Green Bay Packers organization. He just is, whether everyone else likes that or not. And that's true of a lot of quarterbacks in a lot of places. And when that is the dynamic, this is the way things can sometimes go. We'll leave that thought there for the moment. We're coming back to it as we continue. We're also getting to this guy. Tom Brady said something that might just suggest his team is going to be impossible to stop this coming year. You will hear that. And then Urban Meyer has made a number of decisions that have raised some eyebrows. Find out why one of our crews says his credibility might be on the line. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And you were looking at pictures of Rory McIlroy on the practice range. He won the PGA Championship at Kiawah 9 years ago. He'll try and do it again. That's a live picture of Rory warming up. Remember our coverage of the PGA Championship here on ESPN Thursday and Friday, the year's second major. Meanwhile, I want to get back to the Aaron Rodgers piece of this because everyone didn't get their say and because Keyshawn Johnson did. Keyshawn this morning, KJZ on ESPN Radio, had this thought on the idea coming from Hall of Fame general manager Ron Wolf that Rodgers is a diva. Listen.
Brett Favre with two lockers wasn't a diva when he played for Ron Wolf?
Get him.
I mean, like, come on, man. Yeah, you need to stop, man. Quarterbacks are some of the most selfish dudes there ever is in the National Football League at a position. They're diva. Two lockers, car parked in certain places. Position now is voicing their opinion at that position, unlike other positions in the past. Let's not act like they're divas that all of a sudden they've been divas.
Oh, my goodness, that's outstanding. Teddy Bruschi, I can't wait to ask you. Have quarterbacks always been divas?
I mean, I guess Keyshawn would know, right? I mean, so I think of...
You mean the damn ball. Okay. He wrote a book.
The one quote Yeah, the one quote that defines diva for me is, I love me some me. Right. Okay, and that's like the wide receiver position. And for Aaron Rodgers and these quarterbacks, I got more of a power broker type of feel to make an Avenger reference, because although there's a GM and there's a head coach, these quarterbacks are saying, yeah, but I'm calling the shots around here, especially when it comes to my career. So I would say more of a power broker type of move with these quarterbacks. Divas, I still reserve that to, like, you know, certain defensive backs and wide receivers and all of that. That's just my definition.
It's an interesting – I think you make an interesting point. Like Chris Carter once famously said to me, wide receivers care about two things, me and my money. The quarterbacks are in a different situation because, by and large, they have the money. Right, Mike T? So what we're not what Aaron Rodgers is not upset about right now is money, which is what usually is the root of discord between players and teams. This is about something entirely different, and that's why it feels so new. Mike T.
Yeah, and I think you have to push back on the narrative, and Jeff alluded to it, about this whole notion, well, they haven't had a first-round pick on offense. This is a team that's gone to back-to-back championship games. He's the reigning MVP, so something is working, and I think that's a little bit more of the insight to what Ron Wolf was alluding to. Now, with that said, you do have to manage them somewhat differently. Look, I've run two head coaching searches where I've had both Chad Pennington and Ryan Tannehill be part of it. They didn't pick the coach, but they did meet with some candidates. It was helpful input, and I think it made those jobs respectively more attractive, so there is a way to do it. But make no mistake about it, you do have to treat them differently. And I think if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would say this, be careful what you wish for, because if you wind up in Denver or you wind up someplace else, we already heard about Tom Brady's transition, it's not going to be as smooth as you think.
No.
And his situation in Green Bay is probably he's taking it for granted right now.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I mean, what were we talking about the Tampa Bay Bucks in February of last year? Were we even mentioning them as a playoff team, or were we saying that Bruce Arians and Jason Light are now on the hot seat? Tom Brady arrived and took that team to a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is the reason the Packers were in that position of the past two seasons. That's the reason. Aaron Rodgers. In Tampa Bay, the reason was Tom Brady. To Keyshawn's point, they've always been a little bit of a diva. I'll agree with that sentiment, but deservedly so. It is the most important position in all of sports. End of story, period.
I happen to agree
with about receivers and certain names, Greeny, and you talk about Chris Carter saying me and my money.
Right.
And I think quarterbacks are cognizant of control and legacy. Those are their two words, control in terms of who's playing around them, the situation around them, who is coaching them, and also their legacy, how they finish and how they're remembered. That's what's important to them also.
Right. Control and legacy are things you worry about when you have all the money. That's the point I'm making. Like the wide receiver, he's looking to get the money. Yeah. Once you get the money, you can start worrying about control. And you made $200 million in your career. You can worry about control and legacy. And let's not act like sports are the only place where special accommodations are made for the most talented people. That's just the way the world works. Yeah. The National Football League has finally caught up. All right, hold that thought. We're coming back to it. But speaking of special players, Shohei Ohtani, this is unbelievable. This video is going viral. Look at this home run. Someone tell me how he's hitting that pitch out of the ballpark. They're saying it's 4.2 feet off the ground. That doesn't seem like enough to me. Doesn't it look higher than that to you? It was his 13th home run of the season, which leads the majors. And oh, by the way, he has an ERA of 2.10, which is 2 full points better than the next closest Angels starting pitcher. His performance is getting recognized by stars from all across the spectrum of sports, including J.J. Watt, who was watching, obviously, yesterday and tweeted, "It feels like a lot of people are talking about Shohei Ohtani, but still nowhere near enough people are talking about Shohei Ohtani. What he's doing is insane." So let's do what he's telling us to do. Let's talk about Shohei Ohtani with Robert Stanberry, only the third. You know him as Buster. How do we put into perspective what we are seeing here, which no baseball fan has seen in 100 years, someone be a dominant pitcher and a dominant offensive player at the same time?
Greeny, you remember the advance notice for Ohtani was that he was the Babe Ruth of Japan because he was a two-way star. Well, it's gotten to the point now where I think we need to flip that. We need to start talking about Babe Ruth being the Shohei Ohtani of 1918 and 1919 because nobody has ever done, including Babe Ruth, what Ohtani's doing. Leading the major leagues in home runs with 13, leading the major leagues in total bases with 93. He's on a pace now to have over 150 strikeouts, the 2.10 ERA. It's unbelievable. It seems like every day he's doing something that's making us talk.
Absolutely. And so if you had to bet the family farm, and again, we make this a feature here because for those who don't know, Buster was indeed raised on a dairy farm in Vermont. He may not even be the leading MVP candidate on his own team. So if you had to bet the family farm on either Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout to win MVP of the American League this year, which one would you bet the farm on?
Greeny, I would bet on Ohtani. I would bet the heifers, the cows, the woodlot, the whole thing, in part because of the narrative that's building around him, fed by folks like J.J. Watt and Kevin Durant, who tweeted out about Ohtani last week about how he wanted to pick him up with a video game. Look, those guys know better than a doofus like me the incredible athleticism that's required for Ohtani to do what he's doing. In some respects, he's a two-sport star. He's like Bo Jackson. His hitting and pitching really don't have a lot to do with each other, and he's absolutely dominant on both. I think he'll win the MVP in the American League.
Nine, you said you would bet the heifers, the cows, and what was the third thing?
The woodlot. We have a fine woodlot of maple trees. Use it for maple syrup in the spring.
Okay, fair enough. That's what I thought you meant. Meanwhile, in other news, Mets outfielder Kevin Pillar was hit in the face by a 94-mile-an-hour pitch on Monday night. And you know, blood pouring from the nose here. You'll take a look at it. He was quickly helped to his feet, towels covering his face. He went to a local hospital for a CAT scan. The news, from what we understand, is good, considering the circumstances. So that's the most important thing I can tell you. But with that in mind, velocity is at an all-time high. Hit batsmen are at an all-time high. What should baseball fans know about why that is important right now?
There's no question that in the last 10 years there's been an increased focus on velocity, bringing these relievers who throw 100 miles per hour. Pitchers are being trained to throw at high velocity and to spin the ball, great breaking pitches as high as they go. And that's having a dramatic impact on offense as we have a record low batting average, a record high strikeout rate. But in talking with evaluators around the sport, they also say that you have a generation of pitchers who really don't know the finer points of their craft, including pitching inside. You mentioned the number of hit batsmen, 0.92 per game, according to the numbers that Hembo sent me. That is the highest since 1899. That is one of the ancillary parts of this focus on velocity in baseball.
Yeah, and obviously dangerous and worrisome. And again, the news we think from last night is good, but it is certainly something to keep an eye on. All right, Buster, great to see you as always. Thanks for getting up. We'll check in again soon. As we continue, we're talking about Urban Meyer. He's made a number of eyebrow-raising decisions. You'll find out why one of our crew says his credibility is now on the line. You'll hear why. And then we got Sneaky Hembo, and this one is for Jalen Rose. Among active players, who has the record for most points in a playoff game? Jalen will join us live next. He'll take a shot at it. Oh, I think he's got it. Don't miss Jalen right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. The great Jalen Rose gets up with us this morning. And Jay, here's the question from Hembo. Among active players, who has the record for most points scored in a playoff game?
Wow, Hembo, you gonna do me like this? I think about Carmelo Anthony because he's 10th all time, but I'll take Kevin Durant as my final answer.
Okay, that is not correct. We're talking about a single playoff game, and the answer
Spider
is Donovan Mitchell.
Mitchell.
He scored 57 in a game against Denver in the bubble last year. Isaiah Thomas is next. Why are you calling a 20? Why are we calling a 20?
Because he wasn't active. He was injured.
Well, I guess now we're going to get into a syntax discrepancy with Hembo
here. I was wrong anyway. I'm just saying.
Only Jalen. He's found a technicality. All right, we'll take it up with Hembo later. Let's get down to the playoffs this year. Let's talk about LeBron James, who, by the way, once scored 51 points in a playoff game. In your opinion, what is at stake for him in this postseason?
How about this, Greeny? The LeBron James era has catapulted him into the conversation of the GOAT, Michael Air Jeffrey Jordan. We've had these debates on this show. The more championships he wins and the longer he plays, the less the current fan base has seen MJ play. So now he becomes the GOAT, not only in their eyes, but then people like you and I that seen MJ have to make the realistic comparisons. Even though I think MJ has cemented it, that's what LeBron is up against. And also, during the LeBron era, there have been other great players to still win championships. Kawhi Leonard has a couple. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry have a couple. So imagine if the Lakers don't win it this year and the Nets win it this year. Now all of a sudden, you got KD on LeBron's heels. Or say Kawhi wins it this year. You have Kawhi getting closer to LeBron in overall championships. We know LeBron James' legacy is cemented, but how about the play-in idea and how genius it was for Adam Silver to now debut this thing and have LeBron James, Anthony Davis going against Steph Curry and Draymond Green in the play-in? How about that? And so this is going to be great theater for the NBA. Steph has been outstanding. I have him probably top three or four in my MVP ballot that I'm going to fill out this afternoon. And they have a puncher's chance because they have him. LeBron has been a little hobbled, and I saw Wode say that he's healthy. I've seen Anthony Davis recover from a groin injury, but freak things happen. What if Anthony Davis shoots the ball like he did previously and come down on the scoreboard and tweak his ankle? Yeah. Now the Golden State Warriors have a better chance. So this is going to be great theater, and I'm excited to see it.
Well, me too. But let me very quickly, I'm just going to change up what I was going to ask you, because I like the play-in tournament too, and you're saying you like it. And it does create a fabulous matchup. But what if, and I don't think either of us expects this to happen, but it's not impossible, what if we lose LeBron and Anthony Davis in the first week? The playoffs haven't even started. Then what?
I don't like the play-in. I love it. And as a matter of fact, they should keep it exactly the way it is. Play for the seventh and eighth spots. You and I hate load management. Mm-hmm. It's really curtailed when you have the play-in because the middle 3, 4, 5, 6 teams don't want to fall to 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11. So now everybody has something to play for, including LeBron James and his team where he was injured along with AD and they fell into the play-in. So what happens if they lose? They're not going to lose. You and I both know that. So you don't even have to worry about it. I ain't even going to give you no hypotheticals, no great analysis, no great hypothesis, none of that. It's not going to, they're going to win the first time. This ain't going to be no best of three. They're going to take care of business like they supposed to.
It's outstanding. It's a great lesson for everybody. If you ever want, but the best way to answer a question is to change the question. No one does that better than Jalen does.
They're not
right, let me ask
lose.
You this then. Jalen, what did you think of the Clippers? I'm going to use the word because everyone's using it. Tanking their last two games to avoid the Lakers. What'd you think?
I think it was a boss move. Here's why. Last year, we were anticipating an all-LA Western Conference final. Denver and the bubble interrupted those proceedings. I don't want to see the Lakers play the Clippers in the first round or the second round. Those are the two best teams in the Western Conference. In my opinion, shout to the Utah Jazz. I think they're going to have something to say as well. If they face off, I want to see them face off for all the marbles. I don't want to see Kawhi go against LeBron in the first round. I need to see Paul George and AD if they can help lift their team out of the conference championship, not out of the second round. It'll be a buzzkill if it happened before then. So I felt like it was a boss move. Win-win for us as the fans and media.
Okay, I'm good with that if that's the explanation. Jalen, you're the best. We will see you as this road gets going here, my friend. Thank you.
I love you, my brother. I appreciate it.
You're the best. Jalen Rose with us here as we get set for it. Don't forget, our first NBA play-in tournament games on ESPN and the ESPN app. And tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern, we have the West. So we have Grizzlies Spurs to begin, and then the game everyone's waiting for, Steph versus LeBron, Lakers and Warriors. Coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Back to the NFL we go, and there's been a lot of talk about Urban Meyer since he took over in Jacksonville. He's been there 5 months, and he's made some fascinating decisions, like that one hiring Chris Doyle as the strength coach despite rumors of misconduct. He resigned after just one day. Last week, the reports come out that he's expected to bring in Tim Tebow as a tight end. Of course, the world just sort of went nuts about that. Then over the weekend, it comes out that the 25th overall pick, Travis Etienne, the most productive running back in ACC history, he's turning him into a wide receiver. So people sort of got a little bit up in arms about all of that. So a whole lot of conversation. Jeff Darlington, let me come to you. Just from what you were hearing, are there concerns that people that you're talking to are expressing about Urban Meyer before he even coaches a single game in the NFL?
Well, there's definitely dissension, I'll call it. It might be a little bit of a strong word about the decision to bring in Tim Tebow internally. There's a lot of coaches on the staff that don't love the idea. That being said, I kind of want to put a little disclaimer on that because these same coaches are kind of thinking to themselves, this isn't that big of a deal. Maybe this blows over. Tebow probably won't be on the roster come week one, so let's just let Urban have his moment here. But that feels a little disconcerting in itself when you've got coaches on a staff that Urban's just doing his thing here and we'll get through it. So as a new coach, maybe a little disconcerting. I think that he will get the benefit of the doubt, maybe, certainly internally for now. The question is, externally, will his players be okay with all this?
Well, let's talk about the players, Teddy. I will always think of you as a veteran leader. I think you were a veteran leader as a rookie. And now Tim Tebow is going to come in there as a third-string tight end, and his coach wants him to sort of set the culture. How is that going to go?
Mm-hmm. Well, if that's what Urban Meyer thinks he's going to do, I mean, that's the wrong mindset right there, because if I'm a veteran player on defense, let's just say I'm Miles Jack, I'm talking about linebackers, defensive leaders, things like that, I don't want to hear Tim Tebow, and I don't want to hear any motivational speeches, man. I mean, you haven't been in the league for a long time. Come in here, first just earn your spot. Show us what you can do. You're going to be a third team, second team tight end. Play some special teams. Show us you come in prepared, ready to work, and work hard. We know you'll do that. But, hey, pump the brakes on the motivational speeches because we don't need them. And we got veteran leaders that can set the culture here. Urban Meyer, I mean, I understand the experimentational phase. I mean, this is his first sort of NFL sort of experience also. So you give him the benefit of the doubt, like Darlington's talking about, if I'm a veteran in the locker room. But if I were Urban, listen, get those veterans that you know will be there that you need to sort of translate your message to the entire team. Because when things go bad and you start 0-1 or you start 0-2, you're not going to want Trevor Lawrence or Etienne to be those voices. You're going to need those grinders that have your back. And hopefully he's worked on that type of relationship aspect of his locker room also.
A really important thought there. Mike T, again, it is an interesting experiment that they are attempting in Jacksonville, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a big learning curve, and the history is not on Jacksonville's side. The greatest college coach of all time, arguably, is Nick Saban. He was under 500 in Miami. Pete Carroll is thriving in Seattle. It's his fourth time being a head coach. He was head coach of the Jets, USC, New England. And Teddy knows this as a player. The reason Bill Belichick's so successful is players know he has the answers to the test. They're going to be successful. They're going to make a lot of money. Urban Meyer has to earn that, and bring in Tim Tebow risks his credibility, especially if Tim Tebow makes the team. Tim brings a lot of energy, character. We had him in New York. There's no doubt about it. But at 34 years old, Greeny, he's not a backup tight end that's going to go cover kicks. I just don't see the upside in this decision.
Teddy, give us a final thought.
Listen, I give Tebow the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I got my own job to worry about, man, but it's like, okay, yeah. Urban Meyer, all right, you want me to respect you as a head coach. If this isn't working, cut the cord quick, okay? And let's not mess around here. So that's a first little sign that you need to look at as a veteran player. This isn't working. When's he going to make the move?
It is worth pointing out, they haven't officially signed him yet. Like, all of this is happening. They haven't even signed him yet. Maybe they wind up not signing him. We'll see if it goes that way. The expectation is that they will. In the meantime, let's talk about Frank Reich. He has fielded a ton of questions about his new quarterback. Yesterday, he was asked one that made him cringe. You will hear what it was and why next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
And that is Xander Schauffele as we continue on Get Up. We continue to wait and see when he wins his first major. So much game, so much talent. A live look at him on the putting green at the Ocean Course. Maybe it'll be this week. We will have rounds 1 and 2 coverage Thursday and Friday of the PGA Championship right here on ESPN. And again, there's also early morning coverage on ESPN Plus. Plus this week, and look at this, we got the NBA playoffs starting Saturday on ESPN and ABC. We got a junior welterweight unification bout Saturday night on ESPN. And Sunday morning, jumpstart your day on ESPN2 with the Monaco Grand Prix. Now that is a lineup during this busy time. Meanwhile, Carson Wentz is the next subject on the menu. Remember, it wasn't long ago that Wentz looked like a league MVP. 2017, he had the best QBR of anybody in the sport. That fell off last year precipitously. His QBR 49.6, that was 28th in the league. Sacked a league high 50 times. Now to Indy, back with Frank Reich, who was his offensive coordinator there in Philadelphia during his best season. And Reich yesterday was talking passionately about the idea that his new quarterback is broken.
I just cringe when I hear stuff like that. Not that a player shouldn't be accountable for poor play on the field, and you know Carson has to answer to that, and he has answered to it, and until you get out there and prove otherwise, that's what you live with. I think we got to be patient with it, but I'm confident we got the right player.
All right, and that is A, I'm sure what he really thinks, and B, what he would say even if he didn't, I assume. But Jeff Darlington, let me come to you first, because you made a very interesting point earlier in just the way Carson Wentz continues to be perceived in so many different ways relative to other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm just kind of fascinated that we continue to sort of even talk about him as this MVP candidate. And I understand the narrative continues to bring up, well, at one point, he looked like the MVP of the league. Even though he never actually ended up finishing that season, yeah, he did show flashes of potential. That, in NFL terms, was a long time ago. Look, Jared Goff, since that point, took his team to the Super Bowl and has since been left for dead in Detroit. We don't talk about him the same way. Look, Carson Wentz MVP odds for 2021 are like along the lines of Matt Ryan and Baker Mayfield and Ryan Tannehill. Like, he's not on that level, nor has he proven to be to this point. So, to me, It's somewhat fascinating. We continue to give him the benefit of the doubt. Will he be better off with Frank Reich in Indianapolis? It feels like he'll be better off. We'll know once and for all. I'm just surprised that we really are going into this season expecting him to be what he, quote unquote, once was.
Well, Teddy, we began this hour talking about quarterbacks and their feelings, and it sounds like Frank Reich is going to be doing a lot of dealing with that, especially early.
Yeah, it's important, really, at this position. I mean, and Carson Wentz is in a good overall situation, guys. And I think what Frank Reich hears, he hears that word broken, and automatically coaches like that, they think, well, I'll fix him because I know what it takes. And that relationship is big. The overall situation that they have is big. And Carson Wentz, I think he's got a great opportunity to flourish here. I mean, it's a reset button on his mentality, on the philosophy, how he's viewed in the locker room. It's a fresh start. You know, sometimes players like this need it. Am I saying that, I mean, he deserved it in terms of the way it finished in Philly? It's not about any of that. It's about what it is now. Mm-hmm. And Carson Wentz, I mean, he's looking good in this situation, in my opinion.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think he is, but I think it's critical, guys, that he gets off to a good start, which he should. But if he doesn't, there will be doubt creeping in throughout the organization. There may even be doubt in Carson Wentz's mind. Can he do it? As Jeff alluded to, his sample size of success is very small. And this is not Ryan Tannehill going to Tennessee. He has been gifted a really great opportunity. When Tannehill went to Tennessee, he was behind Marcus Mariota, and he had to go win the job. So I think their first four games, it's critical for Carson Wentz to get off to a good start.
I'm with that, but I don't know that translates to a short leash because they gave up a lot to get him. I mean, Tennessee gave up almost nothing to get Ryan Tannehill. Jared Goff was a throw-in to a trade involving Matt Stafford. Teddy, the Colts identified Carson Wentz as the guy they want.
Yeah, I don't think there's a short leash here, guys. I think this is, they're their guy, and he's their guy, and they're going to do everything they can to cultivate this, because mentally, we saw how he reacted to when Peterson finally said, that's enough. Okay, we're putting in Hurts as the quarterback in Philadelphia, and that's what I think this mentality is. Carson Wentz is comfortable now, but we're talking about quarterbacks in the field. You break that trust, and it's like, I thought we were like this, you know, something. And those things happen. So Carson Wentz, they're going to be very, very delicate with this situation.
Okay, let's talk about another quarterback who's in an entirely other situation. He's only the greatest one ever to do it, and that would be Tom Brady. And if you take a look at his season last year, the number on your left there is the numbers for that offense before the bye week, which came late in the season. The numbers on the right was what happened after the bye week, when they, of course, went on to win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady was talking about that learning curve earlier this week.
Midway through the year, I was still trying to figure out how to call plays. I would just read them off my wristband and try to visualize what was going to happen. But it's like learning a completely new language. You've spoken English for 20 years. Now all of a sudden someone's like, hey, man, let's go. Let's speak some Spanish. And you're like, huh? Like that makes no sense to my brain.
So they figured it out. And Teddy Bruschi, here's what I'm thinking. They were 7-5 when they went into that bye. They wound up 15-5 if you include, you know, the playoff games, and they win the Super Bowl. So they're 8-0 since they figured it out. What does that mean they should be this year with everybody back and a full year, you know, a full offseason to know the offense?
Yeah, it means watch out, fellas, because all of that frustration that Tom Brady felt and that offense felt during the course of the early part of the year, where he's going down to his wristband, calls the play, goes back to the wristband, doesn't know what he's doing himself, and then he can't help others. So that type of frustration is gone. That type of development now is now past. It's in the past. And also, those blow-ups like he had on that Thursday night game, that's not going to happen either, where it's like wristband this, wristband that. Penalty here. We can't line up. What down is it? All of a sudden that happens. So that's going to be gone. So watch out for these Bucks now, because all of that is gone, and it's only about taking it to the third and fourth levels that Tom Brady is looking forward to taking this offense to.
And that's why, Mike Tannenbaum, look, there's a 17-game season now. Practically no one goes unbeaten, Teddy, with all due respect, in an NFL season anyway. But if ever there was going to be a team, I apologize, I didn't realize I was saying that until it was out of my mouth. But Mike T, like, if ever there was a team that you could look at in the league today and say, boy, there's no real obvious reason to think they're going to lose a game. It feels like Tampa in that conference right now is that team, Mike.
And Greeny, there's two other factors that makes it even more compelling. A, if Aaron Rodgers is in fact traded, presumably to the AFC,
right.
And B, in San Francisco, does Trey Lance eventually take over for Jimmy G? Now you have a rookie quarterback that played one game at the FCS level. So not only do you have Tampa Bay and their continuity, but all their competition, New Orleans' new quarterback. There's a lot of question marks throughout the NFC. Yeah. So you're right, it is all lined up. Now, with that said, I know he is a superhero, but Tom Brady will be 44 in August, so maybe at some point he catches up to the rest of us. But until then, it is certainly viable.
We keep waiting for that. And, Jeff, it doesn't appear as though it is – there's no obvious reason to think that it is approaching quickly.
No. You know, it's fascinating to me. Our producers put up that graphic about before and after the bye statistically, and it's amazing what they did before and after. I think it would be oversimplifying it, though, to simply say it was a result of Tom Brady figuring out Spanish, to understanding the playbook. There was so much that was going on in that first half of the season, and it wasn't all kumbaya. It was Bruce Arians and Tom Brady trying to figure this whole thing out. It was Tom Brady getting better game plans, better scouting reports, better practice regimens. There was a championship pedigree that he had to instill, a culture that he had to create and provide to a Bucs organization that didn't have it at the start of the year. So this was not all about Brady just figuring out the playbook. That, to me, makes it even more likely that the Bucs will be so impressive in 2021. Because it's not just one thing. It's about Tom Brady instilling a culture in Tampa Bay. It's about Bruce Arians understanding that now. It's about Jason Light saying, we can get all 22 guys back. The whole thing tells me 2021 is going to be very scary when it comes to the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Yes, I mean, health is always the ultimate X factor in that sport. If they stay healthy again,
very true,
they are a prohibitive favorite. Guys, outstanding work all morning long. Thank you for getting up with us here. And a reminder that First Take is coming up next. They're just a few minutes away. First Take, they'll be talking about LeBron and Steph and whether they help or hurt each other's legacies. Plus, does Brad Stevens deserve a pass this season? First Take, Stephen A., Max, and Molly, 5 minutes from now on ESPN.